It has been super. Remember, next Sunday is Friends and Family Day. And so we'll have our regular class and service time. Tony Holt will be back with us. And remember, we're going to eat. So we'll have a carry-in following lunch, or following the service for lunch. So hope you join. Then we won't have evening service, right, Rob? So we'll just have everything in the morning. Won't have an evening service next week. So I know y'all will all be here. Invite your friends and family. If you don't have friends, act like you do. So invite them to come be with us. We talked about wisdom this morning and about James's discussion about being prayerful for wisdom and that God gives us wisdom. And we talked this morning about what wisdom does for us and causes us to be humble. And wisdom changes our perspective so that we see things differently than the worldly view is of things. And so it makes us react and respond differently to things than we would from a fleshly, worldly, natural perspective. And so when we see the lessons of Jesus, and we used largely the example of the Sermon on the Mount, when we look at those difficulties, those teachings of Jesus that aren't only about our actions, but about our attitude, about praying for others, loving those, and praying for those who are not good to us, certainly walking in holy, pure lives, then this wisdom from God helps us to see in a different way and enables us all the more to be what God calls us to be. So I want to shift gears only a little bit, and we're going to talk about wisdom. We're going to talk about it from a little more applicable. I won't say more practical, because I think James is extremely practical, but from a little more of an application, and only give you a taste so that maybe you'll go home and read from the book of Proverbs, because that's what we're going to discuss about is Proverbs. Because what is the wise man Solomon, this man whose wisdom is renowned, who God blesses him with special wisdom, right? Special wisdom and understanding. And so he writes Proverbs, and it is the Proverbs, which are a series of teachings, are about wisdom and knowledge, aren't they? My son, listen to what I tell you, so that you will gain wisdom. And so I want us just to look across chapter 2 for just a few moments tonight, just to give us a taste of what Solomon is talking about in the Proverbs about wisdom and our seeking wisdom and the blessings of wisdom. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. So, seeking wisdom and understanding, son, is what you need to be about. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And how important is wisdom and understanding to Solomon? He just tells us. Everybody stay awake. It's been a great day. Woo! Woo! How important? What does he say? Rather than calling Goldline, have you heard the commercials? You've heard the commercials for Goldline. So you can get your silver coins or your gold jewelry, your gold coins, to avoid whatever calamities come in the future, because we all know that gold is going to be what survives, right? Is that important? And the term here is financial needs, are they important? Well, come on now. You're at church, so you're not going to tell the truth? Yes. They're important to all of us, right? And they're necessary. But Solomon here is giving us an encouragement that we might overlook. in the same way we seek financial gain. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's why we work, right? We work, we invest. That's not a bad thing. It's a necessary thing. But just like we would seek silver, he says we should seek understanding and knowledge. And the fear of God is the beginning of this. And James tells us if we lack it to pray, and God will give it. And the wise man Solomon is saying we should seek it because it is important. Because James, this is not in contradiction to James. Because what does James say? If you're going to ask for it, what way? What type of person do you have to be? We talked about it this morning. Do you remember? What type of person? What type of way do you ask? Not as someone who is double-minded, right? Not someone who doubts that they're going to receive it, but number two, doubts that they want it, right? James said, if you pray for wisdom, be committed to obtaining wisdom and applying it, right? Isn't that what he says? It's not like just, hey, pray for wisdom, God will zap it on you, and hey, be great. It is, be committed to wisdom. Isn't that the lesson that we got from James this morning? Be committed to wisdom. And so it's the same thing that Solomon's saying, just like you would search for gold or silver, search for wisdom and understand it. Seek it. Value it. Hold on to it. Protect it. And I don't think sometimes we think about protecting those things, but protect those things because why? It has value. Wisdom has value, especially godly wisdom, right? Not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God has value. So seek it and protect it. For the Lord gives wisdom. Same thing James tells us, right? The Lord gives us wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. We talk about this sometimes, but I think it's really important in that is following God in contradiction to science, which is the seeking of knowledge, right? That's the definition of science, right? The seeking of knowledge. It's no more complicated than that. Knowledge. Science is knowledge. Is there a contradiction? There's no contradiction at all, because what's Solomon saying here? The Lord gives wisdom, and knowledge and understanding comes from God. So seeking truth should be what we're about. Seeking knowledge should be what we're about, because it is God who holds true knowledge. Because we talk about being in awe of God. Why are we in such awe of God? Because He's the creator of everything, right? And if we know that, if we believe that, if we have faith in that, that God is the creator whom He claims to be, then knowledge can only do what? As it actually gains in accuracy, it leads us closer and closer to God. Not further and further away. As it increases in accuracy, right? The inaccuracy will lead us away from God. Well, is knowledge inaccurate? Well, of course it is. Because we're all learning. Common knowledge was the world was flat. Right? That was common knowledge. That was science. The world was flat. Well, then we learned better. It was common understanding that the world was the center, that the earth was the center of the universe. We found out better. But that was knowledge at the time. So the more accurate science becomes, the closer it leads us to God. Because what God tells us is truth. And so we should have no fear of it at all. Of true understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. Let's talk because he's going to continue in this. But what does wisdom help us do? What we talked about this morning, right? Walk in the way God would have us to walk as we gain wisdom. As the Spirit leads us into wisdom and understanding, as God gives us this, and then God blesses the ways of those who are upright, who walk in His paths. And that's how He's going to end this chapter, with the blessing to the faithful and the futility of the unfaithful. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. You'll seek it. If you've read the Proverbs lately, or maybe even not lately, the son who doesn't accept his father's wisdom and instruction, how does Solomon refer to him? Fool, or foolish, right? If he won't, he's foolish. So what he's saying here, when we seek wisdom, then unlike the fool who turns away sound judgment and knowledge, the wise man listens to wise counsel and gains from it. Right? So discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. We'll make better decisions having a wisdom that is from God. That's what Solomon said. You'll make better decisions because your foundation will be correct. Because if we come from a basis that's incorrect, then it throws our whole trajectory. How do you like that word? Trajectory off. Now, and when we multiply things out, off a little bit makes a huge difference, right? If I'm shooting at David from right here, and I'm off just a little bit, I might not hit his button, but I'm probably still going to catch him in the torso, right? I'm not going to shoot at you, David. I'm not packing. But I'm just saying, at this point, I'm probably, even though I might not be dead center, David's a pretty good sized old boy, I'm probably going to catch him. But now, if I'm off by the time I get to Connie back there, I might completely miss her, right? The further out we go, if again, what we base on is not true and accurate, the further out we go, the further off it gets. And so if our foundation is not accurate, then the longer we live, the further we go, the further off we get. So without godly wisdom, then our whole basis is off. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. Now, it's going to change discussion here for a second. And I want to talk about this. I want to talk about addiction a little bit when we talk about this. What's the difference between the man of God and the wicked man? The wicked man lacks godly wisdom, or he's ignored it correctly. He doesn't believe the truths of God. Because if we know the truths of God, and then we are still wicked, then we're foolish. There's no other way around it. We're foolish. If you know the truths of God and you believe them, and you don't follow God's ways, there's nothing to say but that you are foolish. Because in knowing God, you know who He is. You know there's more to life than just what we see and know right now. We understand that there's an eternity, and there are eternal blessings and cursings, and there is judgment, and there is salvation, and all of those things that have to do with the nature of God. And so in knowing that and still living like the wicked man either makes us completely short-sighted, almost to the point of being blind or foolish. And so this understanding will keep us from the ways of wicked man, because we'll see that their actions in their lives are destructive. From men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight path to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil. They don't understand, so they're completely off in the dark on a wrong path. But folks who have wisdom of God won't be on that path, because we understand it's not going where we want to go, right? Just like Highway 96. Until I started preaching out here, I did not realize that it is the main path between wherever in Florida. Because everybody who stops here needing help is on their way to Florida or on their way from Florida. Jerry, am I lying? I did not realize how, you know, but that seems like the wrong path to me. Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about if you're, you know, from Smithville wanting to go to Florida, but I'm talking about, you know, I'm from Oklahoma and I'm on my way to Florida, okay, and you're on 96. Right? I mean, that's just not the path you would anticipate. Why would you be on that path? You would be on the straight path that would lead you, and that's what wisdom does for us. Whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you also, and this is what I'm talking about, from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman, with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. And he will talk about this a lot. You remember Psalms, he will in his writing talk about the young man who he sees walking down the street and he knows he's not wise. And the woman standing outside her door with the pillows on her bed and all perfume is going to trap him and he is not going to survive. That's the picture that Solomon paints. And so, wise people will see the danger, see this woman on the wrong path, offering what? Pleasure and satisfaction for a moment, but knowing that that path leads to death, to unfaithfulness, to destruction of so many things. And wisdom will save you from that. I don't want to talk just about this adulterous woman, but it's certainly a great metaphor for those things that will lead us astray, including those things that addict us. Because addiction is a huge problem in our world, isn't it? It's huge. Whether it be drugs or alcohol or pornography or sexual things, there's lots of things that we become addicted to. Gambling can be one of those things that we'll take. And it's one of those things that we should never start, because where is the path of that ever going to lead us to anything good? Is there a path that leads us to anything good? Now, there's a chance. There's a chance you can win the lottery. And I mean, as I've shared with you before, why it has to get to 480 million before people will buy, I do not know. Like 84 million doesn't rock my world. You know, if I'm in, I'm in. It doesn't have to be, you know, well, I don't play till it gets over 500 million. Well, you know, great. But what are our chances of winning that? I mean, you're more likely to get struck by lightning three times in this parking lot than winning the lottery. Those are the odds. But so wisdom says this is not a great financial plan. Now, you know, if you want to take whatever they cost and play that, that's your business. But if that's your financial plan, that's unwise. If you say, you know, I want to buy a $1 million house, I've got $100,000 saved, I'm not going to spend $100,000 on lottery tickets so I can even buy a bigger house. Is that wise? Anybody in here think that's wise? But at some level, that happens to lots of people, doesn't it? It's something, and it may not be the lottery. It may be blackjack or some other scheme. But it's not wise. But it becomes an addiction until it takes us down. Because what's going to happen? The next role is going to be the winner, right? And the same thing about relationships that are ungodly. Because God has called us to have a relationship of intimacy within marriage, right? And to seek that somewhere else, we'll continually find that leads to destruction. It's unfulfilling. And there's something wise. There's something here that I've never quite understood. I don't want to make fun. I'm not making fun of anybody. Because it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon. It's unwise, but it's not uncommon that we will get involved in relationships with individuals who have not been faithful and then become disappointed if they prove unfaithful to us in the future. Is that surprising? I'm not saying everybody that's made a mistake will always make mistakes, and nor is the scripture saying. But here's a woman who is an adulteress, and just that's a lure for her to to receive whatever she can receive, financially or whatever. And so why do you expect more than that? And why would we expect that from addictions? And so why would we get caught in that? But a wise person stays away from that, not because they're better, but because a wise person understands what can happen with that, what can happen with pornography. It can grab a hold of you, right? And so the wise person doesn't say, because I'm wise, that'll never grab a hold of me. The wise person says, I'll never enter that realm and give it opportunity. You see the difference? Because it's not an arrogance that someone caught in an addiction of drugs or alcohol or sex or pornography is less than I am. It is an acknowledgement, wisdom, that this leads to destruction, and it's a game that I will not play because the chances of it destroying me is way too great. And that's the difference. Because wisdom doesn't keep that from taking over us. Wisdom says you don't go there. You know, that's what wisdom says. It doesn't go, you don't go there. Like, I'm not, there's just lots of places I'm not sticking my hand. You know, if they come to cut trees out of my yard and they're going to blow the limbs into the back of the truck, I'm not going to say, reckon this would hurt? I mean, that just seems ridiculous, doesn't it? But to the wise, seeing those who aren't, to be involved in ungodly behavior are those things that addict us and destroy us. Why is that any different? That really isn't any different, is it? It isn't any different. The one just seems clearer to us than the other. Calamity Jane says, I pay more attention than anybody, and when I stop, you should stop, because you've obviously gone too long. But I want to think about this, because this is what wisdom does for us and why we should seek it. Because what's happening in our whole culture, and it's not new, it was going on in the time of Solomon, right? But our whole culture, the lack of wisdom and understanding God draws us into those things that are temporary, that seem to bring satisfaction, but do not. And the wise understand that. And understand the great, yes ma'am, the wise understand, and they avoid those things that bring about destruction. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. So there's where you end. There's, at the end of this chapter, Solomon says, what happens to the wise? They walk in the paths of the righteous, right? And they receive the blessings of God. They prosper, and they remain in the land, and they receive the blessings. And those who do not seek wisdom and the understanding from God bring about their own destruction. Not only because their actions are destructive, but because they walk in the paths of unrighteousness and God does not bless them, but in fact takes what's theirs and takes it away. Right? In the Old Testament, when Israel went in and took land, who did they take it from? From the people who were disobedient to God. Right? And in the New Testament, the same thing is true. Those who work and are about God's business receive blessings, and those who are not have what they're given taken away from them. And so, seeking wisdom. James says, if we lack it, we should pray for it. Solomon, who received his wisdom from God, said, God gives us wisdom and understanding, and we should value it like silver and gold. Jesus himself, the scripture will say, is a stumbling block to those who don't understand. But to those who do, he is life itself. It is about understanding God and his plan. If you know that Jesus is the Christ, who gave his life for us, and you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to come tonight confessing him and putting him on in baptism. And for those of us who are Christians, maybe you just need a special prayer tonight. Maybe you have those things that you need to get off your heart or things we need to pray about. And if you do, why don't you come while we stand and sing?